And indeed, welcome back to The Man in Line. With me in the studio today is Susan Walker, who's the dementia support worker with the Alzheimer's Society, although she was telling us earlier she's going to be changing her role in shortly, I think. And Charles Wilson, who is, amongst many other things, here representing the Royal British Legion. And we were talking in the earlier programme about the role of elderly people and the facilities for them and their place in society and, of course, the finances for them. There's plenty of topics to talk about and you might like to join in the conversation now. Simply ring us. It's 66 13 68, please. We would like you to join in. 66 13 68. You can text to 166 177 or you can email to studio@manxradio.com. Now, we cannot not necessarily talk about the subjects just of the elderly. We can deal with a few other things. Talking Heads this week had a range of subjects. Some excited the natives and others produced no reaction at all. But one that did was the thoughts on the 2016 Festival of Motorcycling, with the ferry passenger numbers up and serious road accidents down. They were talking about whole issues to do with that, including transport. And the regeneration projects around the island, they suddenly seem to have got everybody all warmed up. There's a disquiet, of course, over some of the current works in Peel, but there's quite a bit been going on around the island, so your views on some of that would be appreciated. Should the Isle of Man take a stronger stance when it comes to concerns over Sellafield? Concerns over plant operation raised in the BBC programme. Well, those of you who can remember times past will realise that that has been done in the past with not much of an effect, to be quite honest. The nuclear and people don't take a lot of notice of what generally goes on. And they also have said that the information that the BBC was using was 2 years old, but whether it was 2 years old or not, it still shows there must have been some leakage. So, what do you think about it? Should we take another stand? We used to monitor the radioactive emissions from Sellafield here in the Isle of Man and check it all the time. Whether do we still do that? Is it inevitable that the Isle of Man will have to pay more for medical staff? Clinicians are paid up to £40,000 more than their UK counterparts, but the department says the figures aren't necessarily comparable. And does the island need a bus interchange in Douglas? Travel Watch says it's the key on-island travel issue. Well, there we are. That and everything else you might like to talk about as well, including, is it important that the Isle of Man continues to engage with UK politicians over the forthcoming departure from the EU? The Chief Minister this week travelled to London for talks with senior ministers and officials. Well, now, as I can see, there's a telephone call or two in the wings. They're not here with me yet. And we can talk about any topic that we would like. 66 13 68, please. That's where we would like you to contact us, please. And Suze and Charles are here at the moment. You know, Charles, we've been talking then about everything to do with the elderly, and we've been talking as if a fact that times are difficult for the elderly people in financial terms, but I suppose we also have to accept here in the Isle of Man we've got a lot of quite wealthy retired and elderly people too, probably more than a lot of communities.
Indeed we have, and I think you're probably right, probably more than a lot of communities, and I'm of the belief that if you can afford to pay, you should, because that is providing the greatest good for the greatest number. You know, back to that simple thing we were talking about earlier, the business of the TV licence. I can afford to pay, and I believe I should.
Right. But well, as far as the TV licence is concerned, of course, this is, I suppose, people are making the comparisons to what happens in the UK. And we, in other words, we tend to pay more for the BBC here than in one way and another for what we get.
Well, you would know more about that than I from this environment. However, the point is now there's a wrangling going on, as you know, between the BBC and the British government. Now, if we sit around and wait for that wrangling to finish, we'll be sitting around and waiting. What needs to be done, and I said it last week in this meeting with the minister, we need a Manx solution to a Manx problem. They have created a problem by drawing the line too low at income support. That needs to be reviewed and reassessed, and that's a job for the new government.
Right, now we have a caller on the line. Let's take our first caller, which is Chris McAvoy. Hello, Chris, good afternoon.
Hi, I would just want to pick up on a few points. My mother lives in Spain. She moved off the island. I was born off the island. And people through Spain, Europe, the whole thing, they don't have to pay a TV licence to watch all BBC programmes. So we're supposed to be an independent country, so why should we have to pay for a service that we don't ask for? Because I don't watch BBC, I've got to pay a licence, because I only watch DVDs and other things. Why should I be forced to pay? And I'm on a I'm on income support. Why should I be forced to pay for something that I don't want to?
Well,
that's my first question.
I can answer that partly, but go on, carry on with your second one and we'll come back to it.
Second one is Manx Radio itself, the station I'm talking to. Only a minority of people listen to this, but they're forced to pay hundreds of thousands of pounds a year for something that they don't want. Why should we have to pay for something that we do not want?
All right, do you want me to answer both of those?
Well, I can answer the first one.
TV license first.
TV license.
Radio second.
A TV license. The news is all good for you because the news is all good for you with regard to the TV license because, as you've said, you're on income support. All you have to do is to apply, and because you're on income support, as a result of the budget last year, September, which has just been brought into law now, you are entitled to a free TV license if you apply for it.
Well, I've been told the opposite, actually, by them that in the office. So, it's through ill health. But the second thing, why should Manx...
Well, wait a minute, let's deal with the first one first, then. And the rest of the first one is why it is applied here, Chris, is because... quite simply the legislation which extends the BBC charter, which gives them the right to do all this, which is a United Kingdom piece of legislation, was extended to the Isle of Man many, many, many years ago, 30, 40, 50 years ago, if not longer. And as a result, it's law in the Isle of Man to not have to pay TV licences here. That would have to be changed, and getting the UK to change law sometimes is not as easy as it sounds. But it's because it's been a United Kingdom piece of law that's applied in the Isle of Man. That's the first reason why. Now, Manx Radio, well, you say you don't want it. I think you should look at the audience figures and you might find out that you're in a minority.
Well, there's other Manx Radio stations and they don't get over, last count, £300,000 a year.
You're not in grasp of the facts, are you, Chris? The fact of the matter is that Manx Radio has a whole series of duties that it has to do that the other stations don't. And, you know, they cost money. Even down to broadcasting Tynwald, it's all part of Manx Radio's package, and that's what the money's for. Commercially, it wouldn't work otherwise. It's the public service provider. It's a bit like
I've got no choice in paying for Manx Radio.
Well, you won't be
nobody,
if you're on income support, of course.
That's the point I'm trying to make. I don't have a choice. It's taken out, and that's never been an issue.
Well, that's what you're...
Do we have a choice?
That's what your MHKs are for, to make the decisions. That's what they make for you. And, as you know, it's a bit like public service providers. It's a bit like the fire service. Even if you don't use it, it's there for you if you ever do need to use it.
So, with respect, Roger, that's a cheap shot.
No, it's not.
Fire service.
No, well, it's nothing to do with the fact. I'm saying...
You're employed by Manx Radio. Asking for a radio station that I do not wish to listen to or watch or anybody else.
So why are you phoning us now? You must have listened to phone now.
Make this point. You are making a cheap shot regarding Manx Radio being funded by the taxpayer as to the fire service. That is ridiculous.
No, you're not listening to what I said. You're not listening to what I said. What I said was that the fire service is there as a service when you need it. You may not use it all the time. Manx Radio is there as a service. If you don't want to use it, that's fine. But other people do. And I can tell you, if you just look at the latest audience figures, people do listen to Manx Radio. So there we are. Mainly news. I must tell you, the most popular stuff is obviously the news and programmes of that nature. So anyway, Chris, we'll move on now. And thanks for your call. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you, Roger.
Bye-bye. Right, now, just a note that says, I've lost my dear husband and all my family. I don't drive, but I would dearly love to go out for a drive and meet other people. But I don't know how to go about it, says Pat. Well, Pat, we'll pass your email on to the Lions people who were here today, and I'm sure they probably will be in contact with you. I'm sure they'll be able to help you. Let's take a break.
The Nation Station, Manx
There we are, the man in line. We're on the air. Charles Wilson and Susan Walker are both our studio guests today. And they have been here for the earlier programme where we were talking about things related to older people. Now, we would like to talk to you, and the telephone number to ring is 66 13 68. You can also text to and or email to us. Now, we've got one here. Chris says, Dave, Chris has his head in the clouds. That's Chris, is the fellow who just rang up and said that he didn't want to pay for Max Radio. What stupidness, he said. Stupidity, I think that's what he means, how stupid it is. He doesn't listen to Max Radio, yet what's he calling the show for? He said, one, and he seems to be able to afford lots of DVDs, says Dave. So there we are, when he's that's what he was talking about. Comments, we need Max Radio, says, I think it's pronounced Drida. We need Max Radio, we really do, us oldies. We have it on all the time, we go to bed with it on. He's got no right to say we don't need it. He's got a free TV licence, I haven't. Leave Manx Radio alone, us older people, and I mean older, my husband's 80 and I'm in my late 70s, enjoy it. I'm not able to get out much anyway, so we need it. So
good on you, girl. Go for it.
Well, there is a point, of course, that, I mean, we've known this for years. I remember being taught this, that the radio can be people's friend, especially when they're lonely. They can be in the thing. One of part of one's training years and years ago was that, remember, you're a guest in people's houses.
Somebody's front room.
Yes. Yep. And that was the, and act like it, you know. They were. Chris is not speaking for the majority, says Ruth. I'm a young pensioner, and I wouldn't be without Manx Radio. It serves the community with priceless information at all times. More than happy for my tax to support you. Keep up the good work. So I think, Chris, if you're still listening, I think you're out in a limb here. What else have we got that has come in? Now, changing subject from Chris. He says, I feel a lot more needs to be known when dealing with ageing people about special patent alerts, SPAs. Do your guests know about SPAs and what their intended purpose is, Chris? Do you know, Susan, what he's talking about? No, I'm afraid we can't help you there much, Chris. At least we can't.
SPAs, yes. Is that not becoming a pension of pensionable age?
Special patient alert, it said. Special patient alert.
I thought an SPA was something pensionable age. I don't know.
No, maybe. I suppose it might mean if somebody's got a particular problem that you need to... The Lions actually have a system, don't they, where you can have a bottle in the fridge which tells everybody about all of the patient when the emergency service turns up on that one. What else have we got here? But have we got any more texts and emails coming in? Roger, I live alone in a mortgage-free three-bedroomed house and would like to downsize as I seem to be a 65-year-old house blocker. Where are the suitable houses?
Good question.
In other words, they say, you know, this... and this fellow's having a really good gripe. He says, this is just our typical now non-caring government. God help the next generation. I'm 48. I'm sure things will only get worse. Oh, he's a happy soul, isn't he?
Well, we've got to say thank you to him, because he's actually, if he's 48 and he's working...
He's paying our pensions.
He is indeed. Mm. Yeah, that's got to be said.
Today is the last day that the Great Union Camera Obscura is open for the 2016 season. The sun is bright, so if you've never been and keep on saying I must go, then this afternoon is the time to. Closes at 4 o'clock. Liz and Ron are your volunteers this afternoon. Have you been round the Camera Obscura of late? Anybody? You've not been round it?
Nope. Been on a horse tram.
No, not the Camera Obscura.
I haven't been on it yet.
Well, they've got time to clear down there when we finish them. Yeah. It's worth a trip. Yeah. It's an interesting piece of Victorian technology, really. Very basic technology, but it's interesting enough. Now, there's a long, complicated one from Pat, which I don't think has got too much to do with the programme. So there we are. That's all the texts and emails cleared off at the moment. And we haven't any phone calls. So come on, please. 66 13 68 is the number. On the dementia front, Susan, I've been looking through some of your paperwork and I'm curious to know what a dementia-friendly checkout is at Tesco's.
Well, we worked with Tesco's just before Dementia Awareness Week, and they agreed that we could have a checkout where people could pass through slower and take their time.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we did was actually design a sign. We decided to call it the Trait d'Allure checkout because we didn't want to stigmatise dementia, and it is for use by anybody who wants to go more slowly through the checkout. And maybe people who have forgotten the value of different coins. So we've put a strip which has pictures of every Manx coin with their value. And people can go through there taking their time. And I've trained 17 employees from Tesco's as dementia friends to give them a bit of an understanding of dementia. And we actually opened the checkout in May, and it has gone down extremely well, mm-hmm. not just for people with dementia, as I said, but other people, children who want to be a bit independent, and people with severe learning difficulties. It allows them to just go slowly, for people to understand that they're going slowly without the people behind them tutting and saying, can't you hurry up? And it's been such a success that actually Tesco's want to keep it there permanently.
Right. What's a butterfly scheme at Nobles?
Well, the butterfly scheme, what was happening was that people with dementia who were actually in an acute setting in the hospital weren't necessarily known to the staff. And so if they were diagnosed with dementia and had to go for an X-ray or had to go to physio, the ward staff may well have known that they had dementia, but the physios and the X-ray staff didn't. And so what's been introduced is a scheme that a carer actually set up in England because her mother had dementia and had been in hospital. And in a discreet way, a butterfly symbol is attached to the person's notes. Now, if the symbol is coloured in, it means that the person has a form of dementia. If it isn't coloured in, it means they have a memory problem which hasn't been diagnosed as dementia. And those are attached not only to the notes of the person in the ward, but when they go out to other clinics, there will also be a discreet butterfly attached to the requests that go to the other clinics. Mm-hmm. And this is so that the staff understand that they may need to give more time and understanding to that particular person. So that's being rolled out across the whole of the hospital, but it's only with the agreement of the person with dementia and their carers that it can be used.
You know, Charles, we talk about people and the people of an age, but I can recall, and it doesn't seem very long ago, that on the one hand you're talking about us all of an age, and next minute you're telling me that you were going hoofing it around the Pyrenees.
Yeah, I might do again next year as well. Yes, I mean, that was, well, back to this business of being the honorary colonel of the cadets, I only got the job because the guy who was running the RFCA and the reserve organisation in Liverpool at the time said, you're too old, but you know, you do yomp through the Pyrenees every year, so I think you can manage to be the honorary colonel of the cadets. So that was at the beginning of it. Now at the end of it, I've received a clear directive from the MOD that I am too old, so on your bicycle.
So it does seem, this too old part, I can understand in certain aspects of people. Some people are too old at 50, aren't
indeed
they?
Indeed,
60
they are.
To do things sometimes.
Yep.
I mean, it does seem unfair that there's not some sort of at least a test that you can undertake to prove you're not.
Yes, well, I suppose whitewater rafting in Scotland is a test.
You've been doing that lately, haven't you?
Yeah, I did that a couple of years back because the county commandant said to me, we've got three things going for outdoor activities. We've got grass sledging, but that's a bit difficult on your posterior. Mm. We've got walking on the water, but you can do that already, he said, cheeky man, in those Perspex globes, you know. Or, he said, you won't want to do this, white, and I said, yes, I do, and off we went. We had a great time. The only people I felt sorry for were the guys standing on the bank of this salmon river who paid 500 quid a day to be there, and we were going down shouting and screaming. It's good fun. Yeah, yeah.
Well, when people talk about senior living, getting older, we've talked all about the disadvantages all the way through. People with problems, people with issues and so on. What would you say, Susan, is the advantage of getting a bit older? Are there any?
I think the advantage of getting older is people seem to, well, in time, they seem to have more, but actually they seem to fill it more as well. We've met lots of people who have retired. That's the exact response you get because they're actually doing those things that they really enjoy and they haven't had time in their earlier lives to be able to do.
Yes. One of the things, of course, that tends to come with age are grandchildren. They certainly take up quite a bit of time.
And they keep you on your toes as well.
Yes. Well, I was beaten at chess by my 10-year-old grandson the other day, so that's a salutary lesson.
I'm
afraid my son's only 25 at the moment, so I'm not at that stage yet.
It's often thought that people, when they get older, have got a happier outlook. Do you think that's the case? I suppose it ties to a degree into the financial circumstances too.
I think it does depend on your financial circumstances and what you feel you've achieved. If you're still hoping, for some senior appointment or whatever, you're not going to get it. So that might become a frustration. But if you're content in your own skin, and I meet a lot of people my age who are content in their own skin, they've achieved what they want to achieve. They still strive for other things. I mean, I haven't retired. I still go out to the Middle East twice a year and produce some lectures, and that keeps me going. And the best advice I ever had was from my greatest army mate, who now has motor neuron disease, God bless him. But he retired at 50. He was thrown out. Redundancy, we'd never heard the word. But anyway, Richard took it, and he said, great, I'll never have to work again. And he did nothing between the age of 50 and 55 except get nicked twice for drink and drive. And at 55, he picked up a new career looking after young offenders. And he cut himself a completely new swathe of a career. Terrific. And his best advice to me was, never retire. I mean, he didn't mean never leave your day job, but do something that keeps you going.
Well, one of the things, I'm looking at a list here, it's an American one that I picked up the other day, and it had a number of things on it, but one of them I thought was interesting, because we've sort of talked about this earlier, was participation in civics and volunteering.
Yeah.
So a lot of effort then goes into all the charities we've been talking
about. Well, here
about.
We are.
Absolutely. We have a really difficult job trying to recruit volunteers. And I know that's because we're an island and because we're competing with other charities for volunteers, but we would just so love to have more volunteers, because we believe that people with dementia can live well with that dementia. And we have a befriending service which is really set up to give people with dementia the opportunity to continue those activities they did when they were younger. So I've had a gentleman who wanted to go out and play pool, but he couldn't because he was frightened to do that, because he thought he'd lose his way, and because he told me that the people he used to play with had either died, moved, or didn't want to know and crossed the road not to speak to him. So we found a volunteer to take him out just once a week for a couple of hours.
Yeah, well done you.
And that was 3 years ago. They still go out. And in fact, we had to find a second volunteer to cover when the befriender went on holiday, because he just loved doing it. And the change in that person was incredible. He'd lost so much self-confidence. So all we ask is if somebody can commit an hour a week or a fortnight or a month, it's according to their life, the volunteers' lives as well.
I suppose it's got a lot to do with the time available. Younger people with families and young children and everything, they're dealing with the children, they're trying to make the books balance. We tend to forget sometimes that young and middle-aged families have also financial problems.
Yes, I went on a debt counselling course, which was very well run by the government, and I was surprised to find that the people in debt are in fact the white collar section of the organisation, and they will not change their lifestyle.
Is that because of too liberal use of credit cards?
Yes,
that sort of thing.
One credit card against another, and you know, I must have the 65-inch television.
Yeah.
And they won't change their lifestyle. It was very telling. It was a very well-run course.
All right. Well, now, time for another break.
The Nation Station, Manx Radio.
And welcome back to the last part of today's Man in Line. Susan Walker and Charles Wilson are our two studio guests, and we're talking, I have been mainly talking about issues to do with older people. We now have on the line another caller, and this afternoon it's Brenda. Good afternoon, Brenda.
Yes, good afternoon, Roger. I think people, older people who are going to be deprived of their free television licence wouldn't feel so badly about it if they had to pay a contribution towards a television licence. For example, pay £100 instead of, is it £147 or something like that? Because I think older people probably watch more television than youngsters do, and it is a lifeline for older people as well. I'm sure they wouldn't feel so badly if they just paid a lower fee.
Brenda, thank you for that, because that is precisely in this meeting last week with Minister Tier, precisely what I asked, that the Manx government goes and gets a Manx solution to a Manx problem which they have created, and they look again very, very seriously at this rather silly line that they've drawn at income support. And I think I agree with you, there are people who would be more than willing to make a contribution or to pay for it all, and therefore they would be helping the less well-off, and we would be fulfilling that aim of protecting the vulnerable. Thank you for that.
Yes, I just think that, you know, to just cut it off completely is a very negative thing to do. And although people would complain if they had to pay, say, £100, having known that they were at least getting some part of it free, you know, they wouldn't feel so badly about it.
Yes, I agree with you entirely, Brenda. If I can lighten the situation slightly, 2 years ago, I received a notification that I had not paid my TV licence. So in high dudgeon, I telephoned because it's on a standing order. I found out that I'd been paying the TV licence of another Mr. Wilson who lived two streets away from me for the past 5 years. So I said, who goes to jail, him or me? And they said, oh, not you, because it's come out of your bank account.
Yes. Just another thing that is really nothing to do with the Isle of Man as such, but concerns television licences. There are a lot of people who live in Europe who managed to get BBC television. Now, I've got a feeling that they probably get that free and they don't pay anything to the BBC for getting it. I do know in certain areas where it used to be available, it is no longer available because the satellite has moved or something like that. But I would think that anybody who is permanently living abroad and wishes to have BBC or British television should be able, by some means, to pay a fee to the government to be able to get that.
Couldn't agree more.
Mind you, if you start just taking it down to 100, the amount of savings to the government purse is so small, it's hardly worth the administrative cost of doing it, isn't it?
Well, that's true, yes.
Right, well, anyway, so what you're saying is that, well, then you're not going to start up a means testing for television licences, are we? So, right, well, let's see what happens, because, of course, in the UK, I can't remember, is it the BBC who's picking up the bill, or somebody's picking up
it's
the bill?
It's a sliding scale, Roger. The idea is that by, I think, 2020... the BBC should be paying the whole thing. But I have no doubt that legal wrangling will go on, because they've said, no, they're not going to do it. But we have said here in the Isle of Man that the only beneficiaries for a free television licence are going to be people who are on income support. So we've created a problem that needs to be reviewed.
Right, okay, well, we've just got a few minutes to go, but thank you for joining us today, Brenda.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Brenda.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye
now.
Yes, it's all of these various things that we talk about when it comes with getting a bit older. I tell you the one thing that I have noticed as I get a bit older, I don't feel it. I still think I'm the same as I was for 30, 40, when I was 30 or 40.
Yeah, try white water rafting. I can recommend it.
I think I'll forego that.
No, you're perfectly right, of course, and that is very foolish, because we are older. There's no doubt about it. I mean, about 4 years ago, I was standing by what we must now call an obstacle course, not an assault course, and one of the cadets came up to me and said, "Come on, sir, you can do it." I thought, "Yes, of course I can." I couldn't move for a week, so I made an executive decision: no more assault courses.
Well, of course, they said, "Well, that is in conflict with what I was just going to say, because on this American list that I found, one of the things that they said comes with getting older is wisdom."
Ah, yes. Well, quite. Yeah. Yeah, don't look at me there.
Yes, I'm not too sure exactly whether the recent Smithsonian Magazine article described a number of recent studies demonstrating the emotional and intellectual benefits of aging. One study described in the article showed that seniors have better control over their emotions than other age groups. Mm. Yes, I suppose. Do you find yourself more tolerant or less tolerant?
It depends on the issue, really.
Yeah, it does, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
I get steamed up about some issues, and others I think, oh, well, I'll never change that.
More empathy and better social skills, it says.
Mm. Yeah, social skills.
Yeah. Yeah. Opportunity to pursue your dreams.
Then
you get senior discounts at the supermarket.
Yes, but you see, if you look at North America, and you do. I mean, daughter lives next to Canyon Market. I love going to Canyon Market because you go in there and all I do is stroke my hair and the girl says, "Yes, you can have your 10% discount." And, of course, veterans are well respected in North America. If you're boarding an aircraft, women and children, those in difficulty, movement difficult, and are serving soldiers, sailors, airmen, women and veterans.
Yeah. Wow. But they don't, the health service, I mean, it's the health service for general people. It still has a lot of trouble with it, isn't it? It's not
awful.
Very good. But are senior citizens there, do they get a better one? Or is it not?
No, they don't, unless they have been in organisations. If they're veterans, there are veterans' hospitals and things of that nature. But for the ordinary citizen who's just plugged along with his or her job, the answer to your question is no.
Well, all of this conversation with us today started at the beginning of Sunday Opinion when we were asking you and your fellow guests, Ravina Talbot and Mike Berry, what they were going to ask the candidates who came knocking at the door, what they thought the priorities for people of that particular age were, and we had a variety of answers. And of course, let's take us right back to the start. The election is on the 22nd of September, and my comment was, and I think I'm right, that there's been very little about the subjects we're talking about today have appeared in anybody's election campaigns at all.
Well, one or two have. I can't mention a name because you'll have to read the list again.
Yeah.
But yes, I've seen it in people's lists.
Right. Well, we must finish now the programme anyway. Just reminds me to leave when we talked about dementia is Ronald Reagan, of course, in the end suffered from it, but he's got a remarkable quote which I thought was wonderful. He said, "I've left orders to be awakened at any time during national emergency, even if in a cabinet meeting."
Listen, incoming MHKs.
And that brings us to the end of today's Man in Line. Susan Walker was with us. She's the dementia support worker with the Alzheimer's Society, and Charles Wilson today representing the Royal British Legion. Catherine Nicholl was on the switch, and I'm Roger Watterson. Until next week, goodbye.